All right. We'll begin with prayer, this communion class. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you're doing, my Lord. Bless us to go totally forward in you, doing all that's in your heart, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You know, we're called to do a mighty work. And the Lord set us up foundationally to do it. And last time we made it to, I think it was St. John 16 and 15. Okay, in verse 13, he said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." In following God, we have to be guided by him, because we're going to run into things that we didn't know were there. And last week, the Lord put something on my heart about concerning David and Jesus. They did the same things. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, you know the story about David and Goliath. And David courageously fought Goliath because his heart was set to follow God. And the Lord sent the same prophet Samuel, to anoint David to be king. And he was the same one who anointed Saul. But David loved the will of God, and he spent time in his presence. Now, this is the reflection I found of David's heart. In battle, it says, verse 48, 17 to 48, "And it came to pass, when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army of the Philistines." And while he's running, "And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon the face of the earth." He had no fear because he had been in the presence of God. Perfect love cast out fear. His heart was set to do God's perfect will. And when the Philistine was challenging Israel, he took responsibility. And he did it as a king. Though he was not positioned yet, he was anointed. And that anointing was on him. He had God's ability to be a king, to make judgments, and to go forward. We're in the same position by the Holy Spirit. In St. John 16, a few scriptures ahead of that, Jesus said, "I have many things to say, but you cannot bear them now." Now, that statement is not true for the church, because we have the Holy Spirit and we can bear what the Holy Spirit reveals to us. David was guided by the Holy Spirit from start to finish. And if he didn't deviate, he always had great success. If he deviated, he had problems and consequences, just like anybody else would. In contrast to this, when Jesus came, he was led of the Holy Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted of Satan, because Satan was, he had to defeat Satan just like David had to defeat Goliath. In Matthew chapter 4, that's one of my favorite accounts of this. He said, you know, Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He stuck with the plan of God throughout that battle. This was a battle. And his heart was set to follow God. He never argued with the Father. He never resisted the Father's will. He always ran to the Father's will. He got understanding. And this is the pattern that he set before his disciples. This is the foundation that he laid before them. These are the teachings that he taught them. He never wrestled with God. He never argued. He never did something different. Now, the challenge, here's the challenge. His heart is set. David's heart was set. Jesus' heart was set to follow God, to do his will. David won the battle. And you would think, you know, he was a blessing to Israel. But down, we know the story, so I'm going to skip a lot of it. In 18, verse 12, it says, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. This is what he ran into. This is what was out there. And this may not have been something he expected unless the Lord warned him. But this is, as David went about doing his business, he had a growing enemy. Saul was afraid of him. Verse 14, with verse 13 says, Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. Now watch verse 14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. And then he started plotting against him. He was supposed to give him his daughter, his first daughter, Merab. And David kept covenant. Saul broke it. This was supposed to throw him off balance, but it didn't. And then Saul devised another plan. Verse 21 said, and Saul said, I will give, with verse 20, and Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and at the hand of the Philistines.
That she may be a what?
A snare.
A snare to him. Mm-hmm. Was she a snare to him?
Yeah.
She had an interesting personality.
Well, she actually saved his life. She loved him. So when she found out that her dad was going to kill him, she helped David escape.
But where was she the snare?
When David danced before the Lord, she got offended.
Yeah.
And
she let him know she didn't like it, mm-hmm. and she didn't want him doing that. And, mm-hmm.
and Saul knew that she was.
Listen, I know who.
And Saul knew her personality because he's her father.
I think she was pretty headstrong. I think Saul had some run-ins with her himself, but he said, hey, she's a snare to me, I'll give her to David.
Yeah, exactly. He knew what he was doing. We know our children's personality. We don't always know what they're capable of, but we know what they do.
He said she'll be a snare to him.
And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Okay, as time going on, you know, whatever's in your heart, it comes out. This was a growing problem with Saul. In anytime a person is in fear of any kind, Satan is always involved. Just like God is involved through our faith, Satan is always, every time, involved when there's fear. In verse 19, Saul said to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. Now he's speaking it. First it was private, now he's verbal. Whatever's in the heart is coming out. And in Jesus' day, he ran into the same problem. Saul sat in the seat of Moses, and now the Pharisees in Jesus' time was in the seat of Moses. Now, the persuasion starts at the top and go down. That's how Satan does it. He persuaded Saul Saul persuaded the people. The Pharisees were persuaded off track by Satan, and the target was Jesus. Now, Jesus won his battle in the wilderness, and now he's going to win the battle in life because he's coming to Israel. He was not positioned as a king, but he came to do his will as a king. Though he wasn't positioned as a king yet, he came doing the works of a king, just like David in Saul's day. And he ran into resistance because Satan had place in the people. Their eye was not single. So, and his was. David's eye was single at that time. Jesus' eye was single throughout. And now he's speaking to us. There is a persuasion out there to not do exactly what God say do, because the things of God that have not been revealed yet, people don't know to look for it. And when it comes, there can be opposition even from good people. And the Holy Spirit, it takes the Holy Spirit to guide us and to help us to recover what was lost, to do the work of God, love the opposition, be a blessing to them, and he'll guide you what's out there. A proud man will not win the battle that Jesus won in chapter 4. He's going to, and Satan, just, death can be taught, because he told his disciples, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. It's a persuasion. Even in the church, there are people who will do, I mean, even good people, great people.
Amen.
So you have to be guided by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And we have, according to Revelation, he said that we're kings and priests. We're not positioned, we're not the king of the land, but we're the king on the earth. And we're in the kingdom of God, we are kings and priests. And we're to do the work as a king would. We take the responsibility that a king would. Kings don't run. They fight. They win. They fight until they win. Kings don't stop. When they put their hand to the plow, they don't take them off. And they don't have to. And priests, they represent God. And they want to. And then they represent the cause of people to God. Because God has wisdom and he can be a blessing. This is communion. This is pure communion. When we take our place in the Lord, in Christ, and be a blessing to his people. We're going to do it though there's opposition. We're going to do it on purpose. And we're going to do it with joy. And not look back.
Because God is also with us.
He's with us, just like he was with David, just like he's with Jesus.
That's good to know. You know what? You just said it kind of in the natural. They said I have kind of soft bones. I don't agree with it. You want strong bones with strength. The joy of the Lord your strength.
Yeah.
Anytime you have some joy, you say, I'm receiving my healing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's good.
You don't have to know everything. In verse 13, it says, he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. When you take time and study the word of God, the Holy Spirit is hearing it. You may forget it in your mind, but you took time to study it. He'll bring it back up. He'll bring back up whatever you need, train you for your purpose, and guide you. This is pure communion. I don't worry about what I don't know. He'll prepare me when it's time.
So when you communicate, you hear him. He's telling you all the time.
Mm-hmm. I study.
You're not close to him, so that's why communion is so important.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's even
this. Yeah. And it's not by might. I don't have to know everything now. It's by his Spirit.
Ooh, glory.
And when he speaks, it's just like old E.F. Hutton. I'm listening. I yield. I don't argue with the Father. I ask him questions to obey him like Gideon did.
Amen.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me."
Amen.
Remembering his teachings. Mm-hmm. Remembering what he said, how he lived. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me."
Amen.
Dear Lord, I thank you for your wisdom. I thank you all for all the wisdom and the training that you're going to bless us with.
Yes.
For such a time as this, I pray that you will mightily move in our lives, guiding us to do what's necessary now with the short fraction of time we have left, that we may do all that's in your heart to your glory, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.